They went to Emahlubin, and then when I got there in Emahlubin, they do know that there are Zomos who are also pictures. But when you get to Emahlubin, you do as Romans do. They will be saying, Mazlomos, Pushwana Snangubo, Salangubo, so Bolekwa. And when I'm trying to trace the history, I did get it that they were from here, never changing, because so picture from the God, when I'm getting in that side, the matter then, because bonus push on a manango, all along in Gomos of Bolek, Ubaman Comangasli and Abin, Gelsom Wenge, Quabati, in Kunza by Kusuku slabbing a gas slab, but by Slabaya Kusubas. So I'm that multi language.
Lingual
or whatever. So I'm saying you must not surprise when someday on the podium I'm calling all this claim, because Amadlomo, when I was in Durban, when I was still staying in Durban, Goma Mashu, Goma Lamontville, where Musabalas were born, my father was called Mshongo. When I was in Durban, you see, our culture, were you aware that Mhlongo, when I was in Durban, they were calling Mhlongo, no, Nina, Ngabo Mhlongo, Nina Bo Mhlongo. So, we've joined now by another department, we are seeing a new officials. Can I start in my right hand side again?
Good afternoon. This is Sindile Madlingoz Ukhadebe Ungumo Uzulukechana Ulemhlezumbini from EFF. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Good afternoon.
DJ?
Can I suggest that since we are in the sports session, that the members tell us how active they are and what course they play. I know Chai is a former netball player.
How can I forget that? I've forgotten that I used to be a GK number 7. I was playing for Transkei then as number 7 of the netball. Even here in Parliament, I am active in the netball. I also try to assist and coach them. So I'm passionate about sport. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, DG. How can I forget that? I'm strong. Okay.
Give him a chance.
Give him a chance. I have you finished, Honorable Member? The request from that Honorable DG saying that we must reflect about sport.
About sport.
Yeah, press your mic.
Well, I've been a rugby player, small as I am, and from there, then I played soccer in high school. So I've been a sprinter. Yeah, 100 meters and 200 meters. Yeah.
I'm from a family who are rugby players. You know the history of Team Fulan. So I'm just a sport somebody. The Honorable Knox, introduce yourself.
Thanks, Chair, and good afternoon. My name is Knox Seyari from the African National Congress. I'm a soccer fan.
and I'm a fan of soccer and rugby. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Afternoon, colleagues and officials. My name is Vuyisile Malumane. I used to play GD in netball, which is a goal defender. Thank you.
I'm Veronica van Dijk from the DA, and I was definitely not chosen for this portfolio because of my sports skills.
Will never ever.
Thanks, Chair. I'm so from
sport.
I've been active in sports. I'm still active even in soccer. My name in soccer is Valdez. I don't know if Nyamazu Valdez,
yeah.
Goal scorer those in our days. I'm old. And I'm participating even in athletes, but I only run not more than 21 cases. Every month I participate in those activities. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Mem.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Boy. My surname is Mamawolo, member of this community from the ANC. While growing up, I used to play for Ria Stars. Under 14 years, my TFC and Naughty Boys, the show Naughty Boys. Those are the teams that I played for. And a bit of mini league. You see, rugby, they've got what they call a mini league. And a bit of cricket at high school as well. Yeah, so we also thank Mali for beating Angola. Sundowns once went through this way, through the back door, and took that particular CAF Champions League. We hope the same with Afana.
Now we've got the young ones, they will tell our stories. Our involvement in past years, whilst we are still young at heart, but we can tell what sport were you doing as you've started when we were doing arts and culture. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I stated previously, on arts and culture, the nicest thing I can get to art is Veronica, Honorable Veronica. I'm not a piece of art. And as you can see, this is not rugby injuries. I was actually a semi-professional cyclist and was cycling for my province for many years as a young boy. I'm still young. Then I became, when Andre Markgraaf was the coach and also the president of Griqualand West Rugby, I was the president of Griqualand West Cycling Federation for 3 years. I've then, with Gotti Hansom and those guys, I've organized the SA Cycling Championships in the Northern Cape the first time, which was very successful, so I used to be cyclist. And then 2009, ma'am, this is where my international career started. Mm. I became an international rugby player for the Parliament of South Africa. And I am still on the Exco and still playing rugby for Parliament and taking part in Japan and with the Springboks to go and tell them how they must play rugby to win, because we need a team to win. At least the Bafana, they started now, and the cricket now, they just started when it was too late. So yes, so let's hope now that we can go as a parliamentary rugby team and go and help the Springboks also in September to win something for us. Thanks, Chair.
I'm hoping that we are relevant to this committee when we are talking about transformation in any codes, especially the one that you like, rugby. You will be contributing more. Some other people, they're scared of this name, transformation, but I'm not there. Thank you so much. We have started again this meeting of your department, sport. The members have introduced themselves. The only member that was not present during your presentation has already introduced himself. It's Honorable Boy Mama Bola, I know that he's serving in another committee, but we didn't get your apology. Even your ANC whip didn't have your apology. Let's sort that, because as a chairperson, I can't that in the first meeting, I'm not knowing where the members of the committee, irrespective of what political affiliation, we have got the Secretary of Parliament, which is next to me. If you've forgotten to tell your whip, you must tell your committee secretary, because this is very important. It's the committee meeting. But if you are not going to come to the study group, that's the whip of our study group. So we are all new in Parliament. We must know where we report, and we can make mistakes. We are correcting that. The secretary of the committee must bring apologies to me. The secretary of the study group to that honorable member. Honorable the minister.
Yes. Well, Chair, I suppose now would be making a presentation on spot.
No, you have another
round of introduction.
Part of your department.
Yes.
You must ask them to introduce themselves.
Okay.
You are in court now.
Okay. All right. My name is Natim Teta, Minister of Arts and Culture.
I know what
you
going to say.
I also know. I was hearing myself, something is wrong. I said some before. Let me correct myself. It's sport, arts and culture.
Sport are you playing?
Which sport I'm playing?
Yes.
We have to maintain. If the minister must tell us, is it only a hobby, he's not participating in sports or any code?
Oh, yes. No. I'm a sportman. If it wasn't for the struggle, I'm sure I would have been both in football and in boxing.
What is your name in football?
No, you're serious, I can see. No, but I'll tell you, they call me Jazz.
Yeah.
Or Jazzman, when I'm busy
Jazz
with myself.
Yes, good afternoon, Honorable Chair and members, Vusi Mkize, DJ Arts and Culture. Played all type of sport available.
Thank you. You are not of anything. You don't know sport. You learn sport today. Thank you.
My name is Alec Mueni. I'm the Director General for Sport and Recreation. In high school, I earned the provincial colors for javelin throw, and I continue to play chess competitively until university. And I also did a bit of athletics, and now I play. I participate in 13 community walks a year. community walks.
Participate.
Yes, I participate in community walks. I register for them and I do walk. And I also do running, but no more than 10Ks, 5 to 10 now in them. And I think I do on average about 3 races a year. Park run, yes. When I do find time, I do go participate. And I still play darts and pool.
That's the ball sport.
Well, they are sports, and it's quite big industry. I'll share with you videos of the national championships and the international ones. You'll see how serious and how strong this is. In fact, most of the prize money exceeds in many sports, including netball and what. The prize money for those tournaments is quite huge. So it's quite big business. So yes, but I do play. So essentially, I'm participating in about 5 codes of sport.
Yeah. No, honourable member, I'm going to struggle to control you. I must start today. I know that we must have relaxed, but we are talking in between. When somebody is talking, it's not allowed. I'm not that strict, because sometimes I've said we need to be our good selves. I was still listening to DG, and because we have spot somebody, you are super active. Yes, I've seen that you are doing that. I don't want that other people must feel offended when I'm saying that. Please behave whilst we are thinking aloud. You must raise your hand. We must behave in a commit. But I'm not that very strict. The next, did you are saying I lay walk, ne? Okay.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, Minister, and colleagues. My name is Sumaya Khan. I'm the DGG in the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. I was a CEO at the former Department of Sport and Recreation. I'm very old, so I can't even remember what I played. But I did play netball, and I did athletics and softball at university. But importantly, I was a physical education teacher for 17 years, and I've coached a variety of sport. And I think for me, the highlight was being a level 3 cricket coach.
We are not immaterial. You know, in Sizulu, I've said I once stayed in KZN, schooling in Amanzimtoto, to staying in Lamont. In Zulu, they are saying, "Awuyoningu baugugi." Don't tell us we are very old. It's only blanket who's becoming old. We are a human being. Thank you. Umazukuthi awu ingubo yini yaguga.
Press the mic. If there was a seat, why are you leaving at the back?
There was a member who was seated here. Yes, good afternoon, honorable members, minister. I'm Manas Makwela, responsible for strategic management, monitoring and evaluation at the director level on the sports side of the department. I captained a volleyball team at high school. I played tennis court, netball occasionally when we were preparing our senior netball team at school, and I coached our community football team.
Thank you. I once had a coach being a man, a Bimangungu, but we were doing other good or dirty job in sport before unbanning. That's why I was coached by a man who were on a mission. You're supposed to know a Bimangungu, the late one, was a coach of netball. We started with him the netball before that as former Bantustan were allowed to play, and were going all over with this man. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon. My name is Nicola Apocrane, and I'm involved in the department and also in the strategic management unit. At the moment, I'm an active park runner on the weekends and a gym girl in the week.
Wow. Thank Thank you, Honorable Chair and members, Minister. My name is Itumele Ntlasedi. I'm currently the acting CFO on the sports and recreation side. I did a bit of athletic and soccer. Maybe had I pursued soccer, would have resolved Bafana Bafana's problems.
Good afternoon, Honorable members, Minister, Chair, colleagues. My name is Solomon Mtombeni. I'm a researcher here at Parliament. I'm an attendant run as well. Thank you.
Long distance
running for the past 15 years.
The next one.
Good afternoon, Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Saiki Wajiso. I'm with the Department of Arts and Culture, also sport now, responsible for strategy, monitoring, evaluation, and governance. I think my sport has a bit of art and there's a bit of also sport, because I'm a ballroom dancer. I'm in the dance sport.
Yeah.
I do all 10 dances in the ballroom and Latin section. Mm-hmm. I do coach also ballroom dancing. One of my couples got a position 4 in the South African Dance Championships. And also I do a bit of running. Maximum distance I've ran is 42Ks, and I'll be running the Soweto Marathon and also the Cape Run in preparation for Comrades next year. Thank you.
I was having an ugly warm band who was also doing what we have said, the ball dancing. He was a former member here. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members, colleagues. My name is Johnny van der Westhuizen. I'm the committee assistant for the Portfolio Committee on Sports, Arts and Culture. At school, I used to play soccer and participate in athletics.
Good afternoon. I'm Fiona Clayton. I'm one of the researchers for the committee focusing on arts and culture. I used to do karate. I have a black belt in karate. I'm a first dan.
Oh,
yeah. So hopefully one day I'll pick it up again. Thank you.
Okay.
I think it's sincere. I once in Mariazelle have some little belts of karate. That's why sometimes I grab. Thank you so much.
Good day, members. My name is Samkelo Mashobo, originally from Etegwin in Devon. I used to play soccer. I used to play soccer and I used to run. In early 2000 at the then University of Devon, Westville, DDG will remember, because I went to the same department of sports science that she attended. Subsequently, I played beach soccer. I'm one of those people who promoted beach football in South Africa. We've traveled different countries. From playing, I went to technical team as an assistant coach with the likes of Mark Williams and Lilani Shezi from 2006 until 2012. I've also been a member of the Association for Sport for All. It used to be TRIM, but now it's TAFISA. I was a developmental officer from 2012, elected in Tanzania. And I was a developmental officer for the SADC region, looking after 12 countries in terms of promoting domestic sports, which is what we call recreation. I always say I'm an advocate on recreation, because that is my strongest background. And I've just recently completed my PhD researching about transformation initiatives on sports in a community level, specifically at local government, because it's a groundbreaking research, first research in South Africa. So I think I'll be sharing the findings with the members when we're not too busy. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting. Thank you. I'm the content advisor for this committee. Thank you very much.
We are.
Oh, Minister, we had a content advisor which was taken by that DG whom I like most. I was thinking when Udebza left this department, we were just having no one. And when they did take him, today, thank DG, this is the first time that we know everything that he has been doing. Thank that we have highlighted today that we must say about us. I know that he recently was away, so thank you so much. The apology was sent. He was having a meeting with basic education because somebody was not there. That's why in the first meeting he was not here, but we have reported that. Thank you, Mashobo.
Good morning, members. Good morning, department. I'm Achabuli Remtia, the committee secretary on sports, arts, and culture. I used to play soccer, girl soccer, formed it in 6 points, and I left it.
Afternoon, members. Minister, my name is Sivuyile Watane, the parliamentary liaison officer in the office of the deputy minister. I previously played rugby, did cross country. I'm a part-time runner.
Honorable minister, honorable DGs, you must tell me who must do the briefing.
Yes.
According to here, no name is mentioned. But because Minister is here, then I'm suspecting that Minister has asked that by 4 o'clock he needed to be released. There's somebody who can take this committee alone. So he must provide us with the questions and discussions. That person, he knows himself. So Minister, I'm telling the committee that by 4 o'clock we need to be released. But we don't want that minister must be released before you finish asking questions, honorable member. But there's somebody I know, it's a society. Thank you, Minister.
Yeah, well, the DG will do the presentation to us. I take it that the overview was covering the entire portfolio.
I'm sorry by whatever I'm saying, people they don't know whom I was referring to.
Yes. Thank you, Honorable Chair, members, Minister. Chair, I believe we must protect you from that person. It's important. That has to be done. We will not allow that person to derail the committee indeed. Now, Chair, the presentation would be quite short. I'm going to pass on a number of slides just to reflect on what is quite key and what will be major in the current financial year. Just to indicate, Chair, that we have updated our strategic plan, and it has now come full circle, which will be a plan for the sixth administration. We've divided it into five parts, and part one being the first year of implementation, current financial year 2019-2020, being the APP that represents that. So even the targets have been divided into a five-year period in this regard. So there are a number of strategic influences that are there for the sports side of the department, and those that are there, those are the key ones that we consider. Our department has to contribute towards the outcomes of Outcome 14 and the objectives stated therein, so largely an active citizenry and informed citizenry, but which then cohere and works in concert towards achieving the objectives as stated in the NDP. The NDP itself guides us and provides for about 7 injunctions which we have to follow through, and those injunctions have an impact on what sport and recreation does. And then we had tried in 2012 to, we presented a new plan. The plan was seeking to reverse the legacy of the 1956 sports plan, which really entrenched apartheid in sport. We sought to reverse that. The legacy of this is seen everywhere, and the plan had 272 key activities we needed to deal with out of the 53 stated objectives in there. We have gone a long way in implementing most of what the plan says. About 27% of all the objectives have already been implemented in full, and about 32% are under implementation, with the remainder being those key activities not started as yet, primarily because we acknowledge that there is insufficient funding for it. When Cabinet approved the plan in the 18th of May 2012, it approved it as an unfunded mandate. So that will always be the challenge in the full implementation cycle as such. So that's where we are, and as I have indicated, the plan itself highlights those as the key goals. And the key goals we feature there in promoting social cohesion across society. And as you may see, those are some of the key injunctions I've spoken to. It says we must encourage investment in grassroots sport, basically building of a pipeline. It says that we must encourage communities to organize sporting events on their own. These are Saturday leagues and championships that take place, and that's the community sport program that we pursue. Then it speaks to the provision of adequate sporting facilities, and it also speaks about resourcing school sport as one of our major key activities. And largely, one of the important injunctions the NDP states is around the demographics of the sporting codes, and that those must reflect and approximate the demographics of the country. So if you consider the current demographics, that speaks to the transformation process and the charter that's there for us to be able to look at. Lastly, it speaks about the promotion of public spaces and common experiences, and this in essence is via the recreation arm of the department and the open public spaces and parks, and rejuvenating those and bringing programs to the outdoor gyms and all of those type of things that we get involved in. Now, I'm going to move. One of the major key indicators of the five-year strategic plan is that one. And as you can see, it mirrors exactly what DG Mkhize had spoken about earlier in as far as arts and culture and the tracking of the public mood and the tracking of the pride among South Africans, whether they are indeed believing we're heading in the right direction or not, and whether they are indeed themselves proud to call themselves South African. And that's what we are tracking. We have fortunately now established a baseline, and from that baseline with GCIS, we have begun now tracking this. Our objective is that by from the low baseline now, where both business confidence and social confidence has highlighted 18%, we need to grow that to 66% by the end of the term, which is a five-year period. So that's what the key goal is. Now, if we move from there and we go a bit deeper, those are the key indicators that we seek to achieve over the five-year period. Among them, the advocating for transformation in sport remains one of the key priorities we're looking at. The one other important priority which Minister Mthethwa is emphasizing more on now is the issue of the support for high-performance athletes so that we can achieve international success. He's quite worried why South African teams are performing this badly. And we now have to relook and re-engineer the entire framework of federations, and we ultimately have got to step on some toes. The refrain of the Olympic Charter that governments shouldn't interfere in the administration of sport has always allowed coaches and federations to put us at arm's length and to do as they see fit. But now we see that there is a crisis, and from what Minister Mthethwa has already indicated, he has directed that we start with the biggest federation being football in the country, and we zoom into it, and we have an endeavor, and we diagnose what these challenges are. We believe this is long overdue. It should have been done a long time ago, but it will be done, and we will zoom in. It may not be palatable to SAFA, and perhaps may even irritate FIFA, but we think that it can't go on like that, and we can't have the refrain of the Olympic Charter that says hands off, leave them to do as they see, and they see us and our relationship as that of a recipient and an ATM that issues money and stands away, you know. So we will have to roll the sleeves and dirty ourselves, particularly with football. Let me now move to, I'll pass on those other targets because I'll cover them as I move. But importantly, we revised the white papers in 2013 after the adoption of the sports plan. But part of its revision was so that we can attend to the pertinent issues pertaining to the new policy direction that we were taking and to the new investment philosophy we're looking at in as far as this is concerned. And there's the sports plan. It has five areas of focus, transversal issues that needs to be addressed so that sports can work better. And we also said we must utilize sport as a tool, particularly with the mandate of social cohesion, to use it much more to unite people and to bring people together and to help them share public open spaces and share experiences, but also an active nation. Just providing mass participation opportunities for people to simply participate for the sake of it, not that we're expecting any medals out of them or whatever. And it's encouraging to listen to a number of people in here who say, I run, I do this, and that's exactly what the program seeks to do, to offer people opportunities to participate in multiplicity of platforms without expecting anything out of them. Whereas the Winning Nation program is exactly what Minister Mtatu emphasizes. High performance, scientific support, all of that. Let's get the good ones amongst the many who participate to really go out there and represent us and make us proud. And the enabling environment, broadcast issues, advertising, marketing, all of the things that are thorny issues that disturb the environment so that sport doesn't thrive. Good governance, all of that needs to be addressed. That's what the plan guarantees for us. Now, I will move. That is a huge edifice of legislation we rely on, the ones underneath being really compliance legislation and the one on top being the key main legislation for the sector. And as you can see, this is what drives us. Two of those actually establishes two public entities of the department, whereas the other two are key legislation, primary legislation for the sector. For new members, they would remember that the Safety at Sport and Recreation Events Act was introduced after the Ellis Park disaster, when many people died, and we needed to now regulate this idea of people gathering for sports events and to ensure their safety. Since then, there has been two more incidents where people died, albeit on a smaller scale. And recently, there has been the F&B matter of where two spectators passed on. So those are the things we seek, and we are now reviewing the Act. We are closing the loopholes. From now so many years of practice, we now know where the loopholes are. And so what we have, however, done, because we were advised by Leader of Government Business that we must focus on one legislation because they want to promote and push through Parliament many economic enabling legislation. Ours was a social one. So we decided to take some of the empowering clauses and we placed them into the National Sport and Recreation Act. And the amendment bill is before Parliament now. Chair will remember that it has to now, this committee has to reconsider it again and refer it to the NCOP so that the process can kickstart. But it has been tabled, and by the previous agreement with the presiding officers was that it will not fall back and then have to be reintroduced. It will continue. So that's where it has to take off, and we believe will come soon to represent that legislation. So far, that's that, and the amendments to the SAIDS Act, and we have borrowed heavily to empower the minister to do regulations even on safety in there. And that's the summary of the bills and every other thing. Many of our bills, as you can see, for instance, the combat sports bill that must regulate all combat sports has been put on hold. And the fitness industry regulatory bill is ready. It has been ready, Chair, for 7 years, and we have put it on hold as well. And so the revision of the recognition of sport bodies regulations, the amendments have been done. They had been given to former Minister Kasa, who had already approved them. They will be rerouted again to Minister Mtatwa to have a take on them. He, too, has already highlighted the discrepancies, and he's not happy that a federation as big as SAHA will be treated the same way as a federation as small as figure skating, and both have equal rights. It can be so. Those regulations have been reworked to accommodate such concerns. And the bidding and hosting regulations, we now have to tighten those ones. We have tightened them more. And again, we'll bring them back to the new minister to have a sign-off on them. But the committee, those members returning, will remember the challenges we had, particularly with SAFA, of where they go bid for AFCON without government approval. And then they want to commit the state to resources that are endless, and government, even when the president has stated clearly that we are not bidding, and then Denis Jordan goes on to submit a bid, and then they say South Africa is competing with Egypt, you know, and then they say we have gotten only one vote, and Egypt beat us pens down. So, but we were not bidding. In essence, we were not, and it was actually misconduct on the part of the leadership of SAFA to do such a thing. So, in the regulations now, we have introduced penalties for those that bid without approval, because the implications are huge. It may cost us millions and billions if somebody just goes signs on behalf of the country and say we are hosting this thing. If CAF holds us to that agreement, we will have serious challenges. So we have to tighten that part to make sure nobody bids without that, and that's what the amendments to the regulation seeks to do. Yes, we too are participating in UNESCO in all of that, but on the spot side of things. UNESCO also runs committees like FIJAPS that promotes physical education as well as physical activity and active lifestyles. And we have been the chair of FIJAPS. In fact, our former deputy minister is the chair of FIJAPS. Minister is reviewing that position, and we will see how we proceed from there. And on the continent too, we participate. The Camp 6 is coming, and Minister Mtatwa will be participating in the Committee of African Ministers of Sport. As you know, we have submitted our bid, and our bid has been supported by Region 5, being largely the SADC countries. We will bid for Minister Mtatwa to become the new chair of Camp 6. And we are also in the region quite strong. We are supporting the work of the African Union Sports Council in Region 5, largely SADC countries. And we are also pursuing a whole host of things. We have chaired a number of things internationally, and even now we hold the position of chair of the World Anti-Doping Agency's working group and the Foundation Board for Africa. So we are quite strong at an international level. And we were quite key in the adoption of the Kazan Action Plan. The Action Plan was written by South Africa through the sponsored by our chairpersonship of CJAPS. It has been approved by MINAPS 6, which is the Council of All Ministers of Sport globally. They held the last meeting in Russia in Kazan, and that was adopted there. And South Africa's role on the international bodies is quite respected. I now pass. That will change in due course with the new department, but previously we were just about an active and a winning nation, and that's what we were about. I'm now going to pass all of that and move to this. This is how we look like in terms of our budget, and as you can see, the lion's share goes to the active nation program of our budget, and largely if you look at it, it's actually transfers. It mirrors exactly what Minister Mtatwa has mentioned. And Minister Mtatwa had said that after we transfer money to national sports federations and to provinces, in effect, we remain just a 200 million organization. And that includes salaries as well as goods and services. So you can see that really all of the things we say we want to do must be done through that. So the key issue then, as always over the years, how do we utilize and how do we influence the provinces in terms of what they do with the money? And how do we ring fence for key priorities of the country? And how do we limit adventurism amongst the provinces of trying other things? For instance, you can recall that before the grant framework was gazetted, Gauteng will take the money for community sport. They would have been allocated about 15 million a year to promote small-scale tournaments. But then they decide to do something called the Gauteng Cup. And on one weekend, they call, actually one day, well, Saturday, they call all PSL teams based in Gauteng. Sundowns, SuperSport, Chiefs, and Pirates. And in the morning, Chiefs plays against SuperSport. And the second match, an hour thereafter, Pirates plays against Sundowns. And the winners of that go to a final that starts at 5. And then after that day's match, they pay the prizes and everybody. And 13 million of the 15 is gone. So we then decided we are not going to allow this anymore. With the money we're giving you, we'll tell you exactly what you need to do. And this is how it's going to be done. And we started defining and straitjacketing them and telling them exactly the type of tournaments, how many people they've got to attract in those tournaments, what age categories they must target, and all of this. So at first it created a huge problem of accountability. But with time, the system has now matured, and everyone is doing the right thing. So the devil lies in the delivery from that 744. Because that's the biggest chunk of our budget. And if we do not influence how ultimately it gets spent, then we have huge challenges that follow. And as you can see from there, those are some of the major programs that are funded from our own thing, except for the sports federations, which take 108.9 million, that is given to them. But you'll also see that in the our public entities and the major sports supporting bodies like Love Life, SASCOC, Sports Trust also take some bit of a chunk to do all the things that they require to be done. And that's the budget in terms of the programs. I will not bore you. I think we have simplified it in terms of the template to make sure that you can see even the percentages of the budget. We have done it by first programs, meaning by the type of things we have to deliver. But then underneath, we have done it by economic classification so that you can see where we want to spend the money. For instance, compensation of employees, how much money will we spend there, goods and services, how much do we transfer to provinces, and so on and so forth. So we have done it in two ways, the divisions in two, so that it can give a much more clearer picture in that regard. Here are some of the major programs of the year, Chair. I choose to be active, and that was deliberate, asking people what are they really doing. Because we're encouraging a 365-day campaign. It's already running online. It has a number of online resources as well as toolkits. It issues weekly posters and almost daily messaging that encourages citizens and tells them the benefits of keeping active and the different ways and easiest ways. But the one that we are promoting the most is walking. It is primarily because it's the most easiest, most cheapest. Even if you are highly unfit, you start by turning around your house, you know, just walk. Many can do this. It doesn't require equipment, doesn't require a lot of effort, just walk. And if you can start walking and you get better, then you can start running. So that's our viewpoint, and that's what we encourage the most from that point of view. And this will remain the biggest part of our work this year in promoting active citizenship and active participation among people of our country. Again, we have delivered now the sports buses to the provinces. They have just received them. So there they go. The buses now is those buses on top there. As you see in the picture, there are 12 of them all in all, and of the 12, 9 are in one per each province, and 3 now are at national. They do ministerial outreaches and imbizos and all of that, but they also do, most importantly, sports promotion. So they carry equipment, attire, what, and they also do community tournaments. So the best way of thinking about it is the ice cream bus. When you hear that music, you know the kid comes to you and says, give, even before they see the actual bus. And I think that's what we're trying to instill. There's a special music for all 12 of them, and children very soon, they will be familiar with the music. We have bought the tune, we have finished it, we have copyrighted it, we are okay now. So as it goes, children will hear the music, they know they must run to the nearest sports field. And I think That's what we are trying to do, to encourage participation and activeness in this regard. Then the Rural Sport Development Program, I will ask my colleagues to share with the committee the report so far of how far we have gone. The minister directed that it will be prudent of us that we highlight all the villages and everywhere else where participation takes place. And we have worked flat out to compile that to make sure that you do have, as members, you can see exactly where it is. But I think it will please honorable members here of you to know that we work in partnership with the National House of Traditional Leaders. In fact, the AMACOs here are the ones who are custodians of this. We dispatch equipment, attire to them, and we also dispatch coaches and everybody who go to rural communities that otherwise would not have played sport, and they get the support. And these leagues do happen. They play up until the provincial tournaments, and they compete. This far, we have three royal households per province, with Western Cape having farming communities in the winelands participating, and with Gauteng also having on the outskirts then the Vele Royal Councils participating. We will grow this to five in this current financial year, five traditional authorities per province. And in it, we envisage that we will surpass the 100,000 mark participation rate by youngsters across the nine provinces. So that's what we are working on in that regard. The School Sport Championship remains our biggest thing, is the bedrock of all our development continuum. Of importance right now is that the championship of winter is taking place in University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban, and there's about 3,817 youngsters there who are participating in that championship in seven courts, and the minister will be closing the championship tomorrow. When it does, the Indigenous Games too will continue. We have nine courts being played there, and we are in the process of scoping two more courts. We will ultimately codify those courts and introduce them. On the first Sunday of October, it is World Walking Day, and we are having the big walk. We are again targeting 30,000 people in the capital city, Tshwane. And with all nine provinces now, money being ring-fenced for them to also deliver big walks across all the nine provinces in provincial capitals. And there are three provinces that we have also compelled to do this district walks simply by the sheer population sizes of those provinces and the availability of budget for them. So, and that is KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, as well as Gauteng. So as it will be, that's where we are going with that. We want to surpass the 100,000 mark cumulatively of all walks on the same day, on that World Walking Day. Ultimately, our objective is that in a space of 10 years' time, we want to see almost every city and every municipality having walks on that day, on the first Sunday of October, World Walking Day. I now move to okay, that was my signal, my self-set signal that I must stop speaking. Okay, I now move to Operation Victory Lap. It will be one of the biggest programs we are pursuing. We have signed up, well, not yet, Minister will sign up soon with Minister of Defense. 13 army bases have been designated already by Defense. This work is 3 years in the running, and full implementation will start. We have done a pilot in three sites, including Otswaran here in the Western Cape, and boxing and six other codes have been introduced already, archery, shooting and what. South Africa used to be quite great with shooting at the Olympics and with archery and all of that. And if you look at the earlier Olympics before we were suspended, we were quite dominant in that. But due to apartheid, we were suspended, and then I think the interest of the soldiers and everybody competing waned. And now we are encouraging a process by which soldiers can be trained as sports people within the army. And within that environment, we have been resourcing the army with training facilities, gyms, all of that, and the provision of coaches. So in boxing, we have already begun. The disasters we had with Rio, we don't want to see again. we don't think we'll be okay for Tokyo, but at least for Los Angeles and Paris, we should be ready to win medals again in boxing going forward, and that will help us with that. In August month, we'll continue with the G-Sport Awards to honor women in sport. And
sport with an R.
It's a sport with an R, yes. Yes, indeed. And within the SA Sport Awards, we'll continue, albeit the fact that Minister would still review the number of awards and alignment as well as syndication with the ones in arts and culture, and we see how we have a better value for money and cost-saving measures. But we'll also proceed with the Ndrum Langeni Golf Development Program. And the important thing right now is that one site per each province for this current financial year, and by the end of the term, two sites for each province to have that development program. The chapter has worked well in Gauteng already at two sites, and we have seen significant growth over the years. There are now about 57 youngsters in that program, and we believe that South Africa has always had world-class golf champions, and unfortunately, all of them have been white. If ever there's to be the first black champion, it will emerge from that program, and that's what we are banking on. There is now among that the pioneers of 17 who have already reduced their handicaps to under 14, so those now are really in our radar, and they are the ones that we are now propping up and putting more money in them to make sure that we ultimately achieve that. We will this year issue a call for papers for SASRECON. SASRECON will only happen, however, after the Olympics in 2020, so it will come in 2021. In Potchefstroom, we already have a date. It starts on the 31st of October in 2021. The venues, everything are booked. We are busy. It's a four-year program, but we work well ahead in it, and the academic review panel has been appointed. It will start receiving and issuing calls for papers, and people all over the world start writing and bidding for positions to come to the South African Sport and Recreation Conference. So that's this year, that's the portion of the work that we will do. I now move, we are promoting new leagues across board, and as you know, this year the Federation of the Year becomes gymnastics. And with it, they will do a lot of work around bringing gymnastics tournaments and competitions back. We seek to grow the base of gymnastics, particularly in the areas we are quite weak in, like artistic gymnastics, and we have not been doing quite well there. So we seek to improve that a lot, and the investment in the tournaments will go towards that direction. And they will get an additional support. We will continue supporting all other leagues. This year we launched the Softball Premier League. It has worked very, very well, first time ever. We have really, ever since the collapse of the Hansa Classic a long time ago, there's never been softball collapsed completely, but now it's back. And so the Basketball National League, the Open Boxing League, the Premier Hockey League, and the Netball Telkom Netball Cup will continue to be supported as semi-professional leagues to make them really ultimately professional leagues. We have set ourselves ambitious targets of 10 years to have them really fully professional with full-time players in this area. We will continue with the transformation program. The transformation charter has been reviewed, and the scorecard will continue. There are 19 federations now in. We have begun doing data analytics. We have mined that data. We have now produced two exception reports, one on gender and another one on procurement in sport. We are still continuing to mine the data. We are now doing scenario planning for all sport, and we are looking at where will these codes be in the next 50 years. And I think that's where we are. We now have sufficient capacity and data to look at long-term plans. And I think the important thing is that in the reporting season, that will be March next year, we will then be issuing for the first time this long-term planning and scenario outlook for the codes. And I think that's the important thing that is coming in that regard. Minister, I wish to stop here, except that I will conclude with the National Facilities Plan. And on it, the MIG program is running well. We have begun now implementing key programs. With Polokwane, we have allocated the money now that they are financially, a new financial year started. They will build a softball stadium at the Peter Mokaba precinct, and that is a huge investment we are making. In the same manner, Mahikeng has received additional funding. They are getting 30 million every year for 3 years to build a tennis facility, more like a Wimbledon for South Africa. So, and that will be the home of tennis going forward. The scoping exercise around all others are continuing, including with volleyball, and we are still negotiating with local municipalities around this, and also gymnastics are busy. They are engaging the JB Max municipality for this purpose, and we will continuously look at how best we smartly invest, because the truth is, with the money we have, we will not be able to build Olympic-sized swimming pools in all municipalities or communities. So we have to be quite targeted and know what exactly we are doing. And so that's what the National Facilities Plan helps us to do, and we are financing it. The major thing will be our request, Chair, that we finalize through our own internal processes with the Treasury the idea of the top slices of the Urban Settlement Development Grant so that we can finish up the National Precinct. That's where I end. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Tichi. Really, it's unlike you. Thank you so much. Who's going to present for us the budget?
All right. I had done the budget in that one slide.
Oh.
Yes. I had, but I didn't go into the numbers. I just explained the principle we followed in compiling it.
I know that who are the people of EPT will wait for the questions. Of course, that's why I was asking who's presenting for us a budget detail. Honorable the Minister.
Well, thanks, Chair. We, quite clearly, there's a lot to be done. As we move all the time closer to the merger itself, there are acute challenges which, you know, are there for everybody to see, to be good after the initial take on my overview to hear and have a conversation with the honourable members as to how do they see us going forward on some of the things. One of the things which I'm sure is going to give an impetus to football would be the launch of Banyana Banyana. Women's league or football league, not women's league.
Women's football league.
Yeah. So that should send, because you know Bafana didn't perform well, even as they won with playing with Namibia. The first match they were defeated 1-0 by Cote d'Ivoire. There was no fighting spirit there. Banyana was defeated 3-1 by Spain. But, man, those girls were fighting. They were fighting. In fact, there was questionable two penalties which were given to Spain. And they actually led. They took the first half. It belonged to them. You know, even during the second half. There's this thing. Yesterday, U.S. was playing with U.K. And when U.K. was beaten, you could see the frustration that these people, for them, their world is coming to an end. Mm-hmm. You sometimes feel from how Bafana, they get defeated and they go and pose for a peak or two with the opposition and exchange of jerseys. It's like, it's normal. So there is something, the whole culture, it involves the coach or the coaching of Bafana. It involves the whole question about the management but also they are, you know, part of what we'll do together now is to ensure that first and foremost the patriotism, if it can't come on its own, has to be, you know, instilled. We can't have national teams which can't sing a national anthem. You know, they are there to hoist the name, the flag, the anthem of the country. But when you start seeing them, you know, it says that there are things we need to do. We have a responsibility. Even sport commentators and sport journalists in the Indaba we're talking about, we need all those people. We need them. We need others. They are experts here. There are people, when you look at their records at the helm of Bafana Bafana, it's much more better than what we have been subjected to of late, you know, and so on. We were with Bafana Bafana before the match, and we were encouraging them. So they went, played with Cote d'Ivoire. I was seated with the Minister of Cote d'Ivoire. It was such an awkward situation, you know, protocol. So we had to sit together, you know. And, after the match, because if you look the past 18 months, Bafana Bafana has played well in the past 18 months. You look at the campaign to qualify. They've played. But when we pointed out that this is not how they should go, there was a response from the coach who was saying, no, like, what are you talking about? We can't have that situation. We can't have a situation where you start questioning, are you really serious? Are you committed to the national team winning? You know? So all those things, we do not want to disturb the process now. We're still encouraging them, even as they're playing with Egypt, which is not going to be easy. By the way, we qualify through backdoor. Yeah, you see this qualification. So that's the thing. It would be interesting to get the views of the honourable members. Thanks.
I will call. I've been in this committee. We need to give more attention to the new members. Because the information that we are having, Honorable Mhlongo, we can sometimes dominate. I've seen what was happening in the last committee that we were holding. The only thing that I can say is that being a chairperson of the past 5 years, I've seen the commitment in the players of rugby. You know, when they finish playing, you get to their dressing room, they even playing, winning or losing. They don't go and wash before. When they are given that blazer, it's like in your church. You know, when we are going to your church wearing your uniform and in your organization, that you will be told that now we are becoming a national player. This is the code. How can you behave? I'm suspecting in the Indaba that is coming very soon, we must call them all and sharing what we've experienced with other codes, that they are taking sport very serious. I'm just wanting to say that as a committee, we are envying about this report, DG and you, Minister. We are here to make things happen. And by those words, I'm not going to say so much with problem of SASCO, with problem of MIG, with problem of other things. I'm not going to bore the honorable members who are coming. We are preparing for the debates. We have information, but I'm saying we have got a lot to do in these two committees, that I'm seeing that by the time that they were separated in national, there was an error, because at the province it was a one committee. But by those words, I'm saying, let me give honorable members, let alone that we didn't say anything about Carter's Manor, but when we were debating, we have got documents. We've started from the other minister, Mbalula, who's the other one?
Nqesi,
Carter. Now it's Honorable Mteto, who has been, as former members, following and vocal about this Caster's Manor thing. So I'm saying we must not monopolize this meeting, being an old members, but really we know where we've strong and where we've weaknesses. Honorable members, that's your time. Any intake? Yeah, I'm sure one. Nilele to. No, no, don't do that. You can certainly. We've got no problem. Lele to. I want to end. Honorable Boy, Honorable Mshong, Honorable Fan Bay. Van Dijk, okay, I'm sorry, until at the end, in that order.
Yeah, thanks, Honorable Chairperson, let me appreciate the presentation. Two points quickly. The first one will be the question on the indigenous games. I did not hear the DG, unless if because I came late. I did not hear the DG speaking about indigenous games, because those are one of my favorite programs that happen annually. They happen in my township. I attend from day one up until the last day. So I'm trying to check on that. The second point is with regard to the issue of patriotism, which Honorable Minister spoke about. It's true, Honorable Minister, man, the issue of Farafana is worrying everybody. We don't even eat at night. The wives, they know. They always pray over us, like, Farafana tonight must win. Otherwise, I won't get serviced or be treated well in the house. They know that. They know our frustrations. The attitude of the coach as well, is sickening, Honorable Minister. How do you put the best players in the country on the bench? And continuously repeat, those who are not performing at all. We've got the best people who have won, players and players of the season here in South Africa. And Egypt is dominated by Al Ahly and Zamalek players. I'm telling you, why don't you get Sundowns, Chiefs and Pirates players on the field? Because those people are playing local football. When you want to introduce international football on the African soil, it's not possible. Yes, Banyana, it was their first time at the World Cup. There was a bit of fright, but they played well. I was not happy with the Proteas. I don't know what happened. The issue of batting first or bowling first, it needs to be clarified with them as to on which side are they best, so that we know going forward they must know which one is their best strength, batting first or fielding first. We are awaiting the Springbok in October. I trust them, those ones. They play with passion. When they sing the national anthem, you can sense or can see that this one, they've got passion and they're very patriotic. Yeah, these are only 2 points that I wanted to raise.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thanks, Chair. I welcome the presentation, and it was the shortest presentation I've ever had in this committee. But nonetheless, thank you. DG. Honorable Minister, I think this is directly to you politically. You know, the department tend to use more money, more consultant. And to me, it's a concern. why I'm saying that when I say consultant, human capital, we have less staff in the department. I'm saying on that because PG was saying why. And I understand, but somewhere, somehow, I understand even the constraint of the budget. I'm not saying I've overlooked it, but I think something must be done on that. But with the new alignment, maybe we'll take it from there. We'll give it a year and observe and monitor the outcome, because that these are the concerns that I have. IT, they've improved. I don't know. No, it's still a concern, but there's a little bit of an improvement. Financial health, they're okay. The department is fine financially. We get clean audit, we're good. We're only not using 1%, which is technical. I sometimes question that, but I get an explanation. I'm fine. Our oversight work and monitoring, it tends to become difficult because all the quarterly reports, they don't match the outcome later, and which is a usually battle with the DG. We fight that you cannot have a quarterly report or quarterly plans, and later you don't attain them. You'll tell me it will attain at the end of the year. But we battle, I understand, but I think that must be addressed, because planning is all about luck. You know, DG, I don't want to go to your workshop. I wanted to raise issue. Chair, I wanted to be the last speaker, so it's fine. Can I raise all the issues that I wanted to raise? I wanted to raise issue of the buses. These are nice buses, but I've never seen one in Gauteng. I'm part of this committee. They're still new, but I understand. So I'm saying this is a nice presentation with nice colors. I've never seen one. And I'm a member of this committee. Even previously, we were saying that this bus, I've never seen one. And it's not good for us to have this good, nice presentation. Maybe tell me, when will I see them in Johannesburg? Because I only in Gauteng. Maybe, Mama, you've seen one in other areas, but since I'm in Joburg. And I ask why. It's value for money. Sometimes you tend to must change other location. Use it. One of the issues the chair has raised, school sports. It's one of the main focus must be given to school sports. I'm not saying it's not nice to have those buses, but I'm concerned because we've been speaking about them. They are new, but I've never seen them. And I'm not saying they're a bad idea, but because you tend to come up with a cost running off those buses, you'll question that. But I'm fine. I will debate with the DG. Regarding the awards, I'm happy he mentioned awards. It's a nice to have, but that is, you know, provinces have these awards. Nationally, we have these awards. Last time, Gauteng used 10 million, only the province, on the awards. And I'm saying these are the things. Luckily, I noted that we welcome that there will be a will relook of those awards. School sports must be channeled. We need more of school sports. You know, one of the things maybe the department must venture into, we have these sports which are recognized but they're not there in our black communities. One of the sports that is recognized nationally, spinning cars. But it's not there in our community. It's illegal. Must be spinning motor. And we need that. I have a group that I know of. They came to the department. We've channeled them. But still today,
not
they don't get...
Kids.
No, not the Makinza. No. It's a formal group. She knows of. Yeah, but it's a legal sport in South Africa nationally. But we don't give that to local community. For an example, I'm going to. There's a group, Ibiza, the organizer Kipule. It's Pina Lebana Girls. They have different projects. Luckily, because I'm in Gauteng, they're using next to FNP. There's a plot that the city has gave them. Next to FNB, next to that soccer or sports precinct. I think we need to get those new initiative sports which we can empower. There's money in motorsport. There's money. But it's only those who are elite, and we need our guys to be exposed to that. Now, one thing I wanted to even to ask the minister, there's this issue of our soccer. And I think that the DG gave us a nice education, and I'm still buying it. You know, we must change PSL relying good SAFA relying on PSL. It's like PSL is running the national team. Now we must change and get the national. We adopt styles as a Europe. They are league champion. it's different than what we are doing. I think the DG gave us that, maybe the minister, you must push when we do that, that we must change that. Noma bangasi zonda. I know we have individuals who have egos within our sport, soccer. We must kill those egos and for the purpose of the national. Another issue I wanted to raise, Chair, or regarding a precinct, the issues, Minister, the soccer precinct in Nazareth. I'm from Gauteng. I usually speak more about issues that I'm close to. And there's issues of Dolomatic. I've asked a formal question. Can we do something about the area? I've asked written. I don't get any answer. Good. Exactly what is the plan? Maybe I think because that's a big precinct place that we can utilize as going forward. I wanted to find out regarding boxing South Africa. Last time I used the scenario, you love all your kids, even here in sports again, the entities that I tend to say, we focus on these entities, but we don't focus on other entities, like boxing South Africa, like SAITS, yes. Now, which is, maybe we must open, go to other avenue. I know the history part, I don't need to be bothered about that, but we've tried, they failed. We've put more effort, more funding. There was monitoring, you've done whatever, but Abakuli, they don't grow. My view, the way I see, the way I believe, now and then we question them. There's no managerial skills that is transferred. You've tried, DG, but I'm trying to say, let's look for other avenues. Yambonu Chairperson, what is the...
I want to remind you, sometimes we feel offended. If I can tell now how many questions for you only, as if this is the last time you... I know that you are somebody of reading and whatever, but I didn't want to cut you, but you must not go to 20 questions alone. You are about to pass 15 questions. So you must be fair to other people. I know.
You know,
that's
maybe
why you are having
maybe time. This time, you know, when you write formal questions, you don't get the actuals. Let's be honest. Our oversight work, I'll write formal questions to the minister, but I don't get the actual engagement. Than to have this engagement, it's better. You can hear what is happening. That is my view. That's why I usually do the formal question, but that process, it fails because you don't get the issues there. I want to be honest. I've seen the response politically. Sometimes DGs become, not you, DGs become politicians when they respond, or officials become politicians. Now, you don't see, when we have this engagement, you get, but let me find Chair. What I wanted to find out, last question, regarding netball. How much have we spent to date? Because they're going now internationally, and that's my last question. But I have thanks.
Honorable Mhlonga, I'm sorry about that. I've got more than question like yourself, but that's why I'm saying that we've been here for 5 years. We need to give others a chance, but we're not compelled not to ask questions. But I'm sorry that I'm cutting you, but at least 15 questions is enough for a one member of the committee.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you for the presentation. I indeed saw a lot of things that I wasn't aware of. My question would be around, I also want to know about development in the school sector. I come from the Northern Cape, and specifically the Namakwaland, and we had a young cricket player this week that had to go to Kimberley, but he comes from a very disadvantaged home, and his father is a trainer of the cricket team, and I was just thinking, is the Northern Cape Sports Department supposed to assist these children, because he had to get people to buy him the clothing and stuff, and I feel so bad for these children, because where did they apply for money, and what do we do from national side to actually also support those areas, because you hear of projects in Johannesburg, you hear of projects in Cape Town, but actually if you can tell me, what have you ever done for Immaculate specifically? I want to know what we're going to do for those areas that never gets to be assisted in advancing sport sporting activities or sports of some sort.
Yeah,
honorable members, you know that there's an outbreak of a flu. I've asked long ago that the heat must be reduced. I've taken medication. Now my headache is boiling. I don't know what is going on. We must try to first. No, he went long ago to try to switch off. So I'm seeing that I don't want to see anyone collapsing, but the heat is too much. I must report that. I've reported that. No, he's saying that is setting somewhere. He went there. So I'm taking care of that. This heat. Thank you, honorable member.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation by the DG. What I wanted to speak about really is the disappointment that we're having, Kubafana Bafana. In South Africa, you know, even though you are sitting at home watching, you pray, but at the end of the day, there is nothing that is happening. I think maybe the Indaba, it will assist us. It must be given urgently attention so that let's prioritize it so that they can speak. Because, you know, in my community, they say, I'm going to develop a hole. What about Liwe or Ravagat? Lemali, Levaitolak, Ining, Abananda. They don't care about the image of this country. Number two, it was the issues of indigenous that usually they're in Limpopo by neighbor. So those Ukulumile, Lapa, Honorable Mamabolo. And then the other thing is that can we please support those people who are from deep, deep, deep rural in creating AMA sports facilities so that they can also, because when we're in our own provinces, we see as if Gauteng is the best province. Can we take some of these sports and maybe take it to maybe this project, take a project maybe to Bushbuck region, Mpumalanga, so that they can have a sports facility that they can have everything, tennis. The other sports code, they don't know them because they don't have coaches. There's nothing that is happening. But in town, like Sport Joburg and everything, these things are happening. So can we maybe make sure that we go down to the deep rural so that we educate them in these kinds of sports? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I also welcome the presentation of the ministry. Yes, Chair and Minister, I also agree what my colleague said on my right side, and it's in connection with slide number 8, the develop talented athletes by providing them with opportunities and support high-performance athletes to achieve the success in international sport. I was linked with someone who are taking part in the Italy team from South Africa. They are about 10 or 12 of them who are sent from the university from Potchefstroom. And I'm interacting with them because they are coming from rural areas. Some of them, their parents working on farms. And they have the opportunity to go and study and take part in this sport. Now, the coaches that they have take that opportunity to enrich themselves because they assist them to go there and tell them that when you are going to win, you will pay us back. So my question is, when they come back, they must pay the coaches back the money that they assisted them with, and they are walking away with nothing. So how will your department assist those students who are taking part in the South Africa team to Italy? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Quickly, let me first, appreciate the presentation from both the Minister and the DG. I've seen somewhere the presentation says 66% of the people people of this country are proud of their Oh. Because I am asking because I want clarity. Maybe that's how I read it, because I wanted to check as to how do you determine that. But the general question from me is that what challenges do you meet with regard to transformation, generally in the as you deal with these different sporting codes? Because even with the issue of Bafana Bafana, to me, is an issue of transformation, which we need to deal with it. Because some of them feel they are entitled. I'm happy with the interaction with Maroshi. Maybe if we can get details, which Maroshis have you selected, and what criteria are you using to select those Maroshis, so that when we are in our provinces, we're able to check some of these things. I don't know if I heard the DG well. He said they've given money to Polokwane Municipality to develop a softball stadium. I don't know, but Polokwane is not strong on softball, unlike Mogalakwena and so I don't know how we choose that, because I know there was once a team in Seshego, but it was not that powerful. So how do we decide on that in terms of allocating funds? And the issue, I'm just emphasizing also, the issue of rural sport development. I think that's what we must focus on. If we can focus on that one, this tournament, maybe we'll get more details at a later stage. I know over Christmas holidays there are tournaments everywhere and so on and so on, and that's how we develop players. Because I see, even if we have these developmental interventions, but it seems they are not coordinated. You don't know when this kid start at school, develop somewhere. You don't see this person. What's happening? I remember there was under-23 team that played well in the World Cup. But all those players, they just vanished. We don't see them anywhere. I don't know if in the national teams some of them are there, but they just vanished. We don't see them. Maybe it's the coordination of the this developmental interventions. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you for the presentation, Minister NTG and TDG. I think honorable member Ikamandi Libele. Some of these things, you know, I would repeat them again, but it's that is the way of life now, because I'm talking about the football, the women's football. I don't know if I'm wrong. You can correct me, but I've never heard of it having a league. And I heard on TV that some of them are workers. You know, they're just doing that as a hobby. So I guess that's why it is not growing. And the patriotism of the Bafana Bafana. Somehow I think the young guys have that that tendency that they are the best maybe around here at home, or maybe they are not being paid enough. I
think I guess the government can pull in there, even though you know the soccer bodies would push back, but I think because the pace and the performance of the team reflects how we are, and I don't know whether it will be the same scenario when the rugby players won 95. The country was elated because of the newly created new South Africa and all that, and everyone was jolly good and seeing the rainbow nation that never was. But I guess the sport reflected that notion, you know, and the emotions of the people at that time. I still believe that the government could weigh in and let's go this way, let's do it this way, because this is for us. It's not only for the young guys to just go play and have fun. And also about these indigenous games, I think it's time that we as South Africa could come up with our own games and introduce them to the world. I can see it happening in other, like, you know, this skip and all that. But the other games, I've seen, you know, these young guys in the street corners, they are playing soccer tactics, you know, using a cloth, kind of a cloth or a hat, where they dribble with a hat, and that is it's solely South African. You can never see it anywhere else, and I think that can be introduced and be built up into becoming one of the games that could come out of South Africa, you know. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm suspecting in indigenous games, some of us we grew partly urban and rural. You have met in Dong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Promoting that of Ukudlala kwentonga.
Stick fighting.
We are ukuba I can grab anyone with intonga. Ngidlala namakhwenda. Thank you.
Hey. Hey. Uzobethwa intonga. Well, thanks. Oh, yes.
You know, when these athletes are coming from this university to their rural areas, there is that Model C schools with the facilities, and they don't allow them to practice on their facilities. So if we can do something about that, because they really lose out on their system. Thank you.
Expecting when we get our own strategy, committee and the department with all love, life, and that we must be taken to what are they doing, their roles. So this department now it's having the arts and culture with the resources, sport, the infrastructure. We need to coordinate all those resources in order that we must have what we are not having in rural areas. This committee has been a champion of talking about rural areas. Thank you, Minister.
Thanks a lot, Chair. As we speak, because one thing at our disposal as public representatives is the capacity to legislate and also the budget. That's that's the main thing for us, really. In all what we are saying, at the back of our mind, we must keep this 200 million only. We must keep that at the back of our mind in everything we do. You see,
I think the issue, for instance, Indaba, I think all what we need is to really thoroughly prepare so that it's not a talk shop. You know, we've had summits, we've had meetings and so on, but we as I said earlier on, there's some sacrifice which would be needed from society that we've been chasing for the next win. When are we winning next? Our focus, that should shift. When is the next tournament so that we win? We should look way beyond a tournament, which is, we should look beyond the Olympics, which are coming next year, and so on, and get into the bottom, the source of this poor performance. Why is it that we have confidence with AmaBhokoBhoko than Abafana Bafana? There is a reason for that. Let's get into. So you would need everybody, including the issue which is being raised about the payment or lack thereof of players. You know, Liberia was at some point like South Africa, but those boys in Liberia didn't even have money to buy boots, playing boots. It took George Weah to buy them that. But look at them, even when they get defeated, when they get out there to play, they take everything, their lives, their minds, everything is there. South Africa is much better, economically, is much better than that. We need, that is why we also need in the ISO, the owners of the clubs. That body of governors would need them, because this is where we should be getting players. But they themselves spend a lot of money buying players outside of South Africa for the league, or the professional league, as it were. So I think the issue of facilities is well canvassed. But let me say, again, as we speak, we look at the kitty. We look at this 200 million rands, and we look at 9 provinces with 44 districts. Plus 8 metros, and look at that. You know, on Sunday I went to a tournament which has been running for the past 8 years. I've never been there before, I got exposed, because it means there's something I was not doing right. That rural area happened to be where I was born. But it has been run, and the smallest of municipalities, smallest, if I can tell you, we have only one main road. It goes from here to the next building. That's it. A clean dorp called Mbonambi. But the mayor there has had this vision, which we had not shared with him, until we see how big a dream can become if people are focused. Because at one point he said, please talk to the minister some years, maybe 3 years, minister of sport, we need a trophy. He said, no, I'm not in sport, but no. Why would you want to go to the minister of sport for a trophy? What do you do as municipality? What can you do? You see, as we do our work, we should also take it back to our people and our leaders at a local level. In some of the municipalities, there is just wastage, as it were. So that we should balance that, because if it happens that way, you are going to see a proliferation of sporting communities. So I was told, I saw about 6 to 8 people attending there. I was told for the past 8 years it has been like that, but not a single person is transported there. So it means
if you are doing something right, people would buy in into what you say, and it can grow from there, as it were. The issue of transformation, Honorable Siabi, is critical. It's critical. The eminent persons group, for instance, with the barometer, says to us that let's look broader. Quotas are important, but let's look broader than that. How do we respond to the questions which have been asked on school sport? But find a way of extending this to not just elementary in the sense of primary, but to the ECD. You know, Takumi and the friends, the pastors, should inspire these kids to have a future. Actually, I'm told, you know those cars, those buses, the old VW buses. Yes, so they are old. But I'm told that with the tune being ready, they will be ready. I would want to be in those buses as well. Because, yes, you'd want to encourage the kids from that level so that they are able to grow and see what they can do. On the cricket, you know, Namakwaland is one of the towns I like. You go there, autumn, summer, it's something else. The landscape, the blome, there and so on. It's those areas which we should more and more than before, as the DG was saying, to find a way of saying to provinces, but do your work. Because some of them are not doing. In fact, I was told that the transfers we do, they made an example with one province, KwaZulu-Natal. It's not ring-fenced to do what is supposed to be done in terms of sport. They pay each other for somebody didn't get salary or some consultant there. And as long as we have that, so it means we need to find a strict way ourselves that each and every cent has to be accounted for, especially for sport, so that the kids out there do not suffer unnecessarily only to find that their money is channeled elsewhere. The issue of women in foot, you know, Honorable Madlingos, the first team Banyana played, Spain, has been running the Women's Football League since 1988. There, full time, like we have the men's league here at home. Then they played with China at some point. China has been running the league since 1997. Now here are the South African girls picked up, you know, not coming from an organized, you know, structure like a league. Really, they did wonders just for qualifying to be there. They did wonders. It means, therefore, that if we launch the, as we are going to launch it in August, during the Women's Month, if we launch the league, we are going to be exposing them to a much more better arsenal of the country, as it were. Look at the netball. Netball, the girls, they are number one on the continent. Number one on the continent. And they are not all full-time. They are not full-time. Yes, they are better organized, and they are number five internationally. So it tells you that we have such a huge potential. We just have to have passion, focus on this, and ensure that things are able to move forward. So it's important that we launch that league, as it were. The issue of the awards, I want to say to Honorable Mhlongo that, you know, it may be seen as wasteful and so on, but let me tell you something. As a sports person, there is nothing which encourages you to do more when you see that you are recognized. When you excel, people come to you and say, we recognize you. That gives people a lot of encouragement and so on. I agree that it should not be done in a pomp and glamorous thing way and so on, but as long as it says we see you, we recognize you, both arts and culture and sport, the sports people, the artists, it's important, because you see, when they've passed on and you start recognizing them, people turn around and say, no, but this is not genuine, as it were. So both as they've passed on and as they are alive, we should find. So the principle is still correct. I think we'll agree with that. The principle is correct, so we need to be a bit more focused in what we do. The indigenous games, that's one of the areas the honorable member would want to see going up. In one way or the other, would want to ensure that happens. Issues of consultants, the DG would be able to deal with. The issue of SAFA, vis-à-vis PSL, yes, it's true. It's supposed to be the other way around. You know, last week I saw the chairman of PSL, together with, I think it was APSA, but it's a private sector company. They're talking about huge sums of money with many zeros, you know, meaning that we need to come closer to the situation. Is it that the PSL is more appealing to the corporate sector than SAFA is, or what is the problem? Because I agree absolutely that what you see PSL to be in the eyes of the people, self-sufficiency and so on, they are talking about this company which is coming to the fore, and that company, you have SAFA with Banyana, for instance, it's only Sasol just been up and down, and people actually are, I'm told the corporate sector is saying, no, we are not going to be funding women. You know, then there's a problem. So with these two, somebody, I think it's Honorable Mhlongo was, or Honorable Mamabulo, who talked about some people who are very much hard fast in where they are and so on. We should, on behalf of football and sport generally, find a way of engaging them so that there is nothing which disturbs what the nation should be, a winning nation. So I think, Chair, with those questions which have been asked, perhaps with the exceptions of others like the consultants, which the DG is going to be talking about, I think this conversation helps even to shape how we are going to Indaba itself, because it should be meaningful. And we'd still, accept the views and suggestions from honorable members, because we must make this to succeed. Thanks.
Thank you, Minister. You left with your few minutes. You wanted us to release you at 4 o'clock. So 4 minutes left. If you feel like going out, you are allowed. Did you and your colleagues say?
Chair, thank you very much. Honorable Mamabulo, the cricket issue is it's a bit of a challenge, because I think the key thing is that cricket is well run in South Africa, no doubt about it. After the Nicholson inquiry, it has turned the fortunes around. They are making profits, and the pipeline is quite healthy. And on the transformation scorecard, they are also not doing bad. And however, we have a huge pool of talent. Quite in their individual capacity, the team matches the best players pound per pound on an international level on a scorecard, depending on the type of team they are. But our cricket has changed significantly from where we were quite strong in the batting division to where now we are quite strong in the actual bowling, but with our top batsmen reaching the end of their playing life cycle. And that has created a huge challenge in terms of strategy and in terms of how do you respond to a field on a given day. So in cricket, the choice of captain is quite key. If you think football, a captain in football is not as important as a captain in cricket. A football captain really has no power. If you look at the FIFA regulations, you normally see after a foul, a captain runs to the referee. But he really, the referee just dismisses him and moves on. And he can't make representations, he can't do anything. The decisions he made are not of his own. Even decisions about substitutions, decisions about how the field must look like are made by the coach of the field. All they must do is that the captain knows he must, at intervals of about 10 minutes, he must run closer to the edge of the line to listen to instructions what the coach wants, and he then tells them what the coach say. But in cricket, it's a totally different ball game. The captain decides when they field which player must go where. The captain has decisions to make calls about whether they have like three opportunities to have TV review. He makes those calls. If he feels strongly about it, it's not the coach, it's the captain who decides to say, I would want that. Can you replay? You know, captain elsewhere, the one who decides whether to choose a ball, whether to lodge an appeal, and all of that is with the captain. And so the captain is a serious glue to the mentality of the team. And so when your batsmen don't do well, then you have a problem. And so as the game of cricket is quite technical, the type of surface being used, the tarmac, every other thing influences the outcome of the match. And also how many overs are there and whether you have a balanced team or not. And right now the South African team is not balanced. It's really focused on saying, let's destroy the enemy quickly before they go far, so that our weak best men can do the best they can under the circumstances. And that's why the decision on whether to bat first or to field first becomes quite critical. And I think in this World Cup, that has been our undoing, whether to field first. There are matches where Faf du Plessis honestly made wrong calls about whether should we bat first or should we field. And because we are not good at chasing, because our batsmen are not that good, it's always better then to try and field first and to try and limit the opposition as much as possible. But also where he made a decision to do that, he made it with the wrong teams that are quite capable of chasing any score, you know. So he made a wrong call and he put the batsmen then under tremendous pressure that now they must play their hearts out to try and match that score, and they will make commit errors. And that's why you see a top batsman like Ashim Amla going for such weak scores. So that's bound to happen. So I think it's a complex matter. Even Cricket South Africa itself acknowledges that, well, the team is quite strong, everything, but it is a mental game. And I think we have made quite wrong calls and largely attributable to the captain. It would be a mistake, though, for society to isolate him. I think people know about the decision in the only World Cup we went to the final, and we nearly won against Australia. I'm sure you do remember. And there was we needed two runs from one ball, and it couldn't happen. So, as you can recall, Alan Donald decided with Lance Lusner, and they were run out. And that destroyed completely Alan Donald. He was still at prime, he could continue playing, but mentally he was finished after the whole country blamed him for a wrong call. And I think we shouldn't isolate the players like that. But in essence, if The committee wants to understand what's the problem there, because every other thing, this is the classical case of where the boardroom looks good, because typically we can do a direct link of where the boardroom is bad, and you see how that fight in the boardroom is impacting on the players. But in this case, the boardroom is quite healthy, it's well run, these players are well resourced, they are given contracts, they have everything they require. But then I think the term used by the media is called choking. They say, the Proteas said, when they are at peak, they choke. They make, they are weak mentally to be quite resilient. So I think that's in short, I mean, I can go long about what, but that, in short, that's challenge we are facing. Honorable Mutongo, we do not use consultants. I think we are one of the few departments that don't. And I think Treasury has issued a practice note clarifying that matter quite well. What you are referring to is under a score item called contractors and other services. So that those are not consultants in the strictest sense of what is being said. But from where we are sitting, we are quite clear. We are quite clear that we don't. And in fact, on the audit mandate of the Office of the Accountant General, they have asked the Auditor General to check, because now the cost containment measures instructions say consultants must no longer be used. Auditors do check now. The AG does now check whether you are indeed using consultants or not. And in our case, that has not been found to be the case. In as far as the IT matters you are raising, as you are quite aware, our outcomes have improved quite significantly, and we do not envisage that we'll have any repeat findings on IT at all. We have addressed most of the key things that the IT section of the AG had raised in the last management letter, and we have addressed them quite well. The issue of the planning, I think in the previous committee I've always raised this matter. We are straitjacketed by the template of the Treasury, because they do a simple arithmetic thing that says divide the money into four parts. So you have to report on the norms. Normatively, you are supposed to be at the end of the first quarter. You're supposed to have normatively spent 25%, you know. And then by the second quarter, 50%. By the third quarter, 75%. And by the fourth quarter, 100%. But we can't live by those norms. I can assure you. We can, for compliance, divide our budget in that way. But in essence, sport is not played a lot in winter. It's played a lot in summer. And particularly recreational activities do take place when it is warmer and people are out in the field. They go to parks, they do this. And even none of you go to the sea when it is cold or when it is raining. So it is only human nature that would expect that we will attract more people and more participants during the warmer parts. And so the third quarter becomes our most busiest time. And that's why when during the first quarter it appears we have spent 8% of our budget, and the committee gets concerned, or are you really going to spend all the money? We are less concerned because we know when the programs are coming. And we have scheduled them, we know we're planning for them. And by the second quarter, we're only at 25%, and Honorable Mutongo has always been on our case for that. But come the third quarter, he now sees that we're already at 90%, and now the concern changes on whether we will spend the money. Now the concern changes to, are you now going to have enough money to finish off the financial year? You know, so it has always worked like that. And I said, it isn't in how we start, it is in how we finish that matters. And if we say we're going to achieve the targets, we will achieve them. And I can tell him, he knows, for the last 7 years, we have spent 99.8% or 99.9% of our budget. Last year we spent 99.9% of our budget and we achieved 94.8% of our targets. So now, in all fairness, and this is not a fluke, it's not a once-off. It has been consistent over a number of years, and you see the pattern every year, and it is exactly like that. So by now the system is so embedded that we are confident about what we are doing, and we are guaranteed. We get a clean audit. We have been getting a clean audit for the last 5 years. We are confident we are going to get the sixth one now when we do complete. we are quite clear about what we want to achieve and what we do and what we shouldn't tolerate. So I don't think that we are worried at all about the issue of misalignment of targets. If the template was to be changed to allow us flexibility, we will do it our own way. And then you will see, we will stack all our resources in the third court and you will see it there that now it makes sense. So you will not be worried when you see, and first quarter were at 8%. And I think that's the issue. The buses are new, I have to say. It will be an unfair assessment that because they have not been seen. I think, in fact, the only two provinces I know that they have begun on that program of rolling out the buses and the program as we have inducted provinces is Western Cape as well as in Mpumalanga. So they are the only two that I know that the buses have already begun moving around and reaching out to communities. But for the rest of the other people, they are there, including us. Our new minister, well, we were having elections and we couldn't use the buses of the department when Minister Thokozile Gqasa was busy with his ANC staff. We left it at that, our buses parked there. Now Minister Mthethwa is here. He hasn't had a single imbizo, but come that imbizo, you are going to see those buses. Wherever he's going, they are going to follow. And the bus of the province we are going to will also be there. And they'll be doing every other thing, mobilization for embedding this. So you will see more of them. I will not have to show you the picture. You will have to see them in there. Are they big on running costs? Where we are sitting, we deliberately didn't want the Home Affairs scenario of where they have like real trucks and real big buses. The driving license code changes. You now need to hire dedicated people. The operational cost of this thing becomes so humongous. We decided, let's use a normal car that anybody can drive. It's as good as a Kumbi that we get from a government garage. The running rates are exactly the same. Just for fuel, service it when it's shoot for service, and any staff member can actually drive it. And life goes on. So I don't think that it is heavy, as you say, that the maintenance is going to be a key thing for us. It wouldn't be. On the awards, are they really nice to have? It's not the first time we differ on this contention. All other sectors have awards. What we should rather be debating is how much do we deploy to deliver the awards. But the principle of whether we should have awards or not, where we are sitting, we think is not debatable. Sports people deserve to be awarded, as well as Ringo wins summers there, and everybody goes, and people in their sectors, even engineers, even architects, everybody in their sectors get awards. They are recognized for being the best in those sectors. There's no doubt that sports persons deserve to also that recognition and to be rewarded for excellence and representing the country well. The question we must debate is the deployment of the resources. Is it prudent or is it not? And the example you give indeed gives credence to the argument that says cap that, reduce the cost. We're not saying do away with the awards, but be prudent in your delivery and your delivery methodology. You don't have to have golden saviors. The white ones do their work as good as the rest of the other saviors, and that should be the standard. So, but we think that the awards are important. Spinning, we have category A, B, and C federations. Spinning as a subdivision is not a recognized thing. What is recognized is motorsport. Spinning is part of motorsport. Our first battle with your people you sent to me was that they can become an independent, separate federation. They've got to subject themselves and go affiliate under Motorsport South Africa. Motorsport South Africa was prepared to receive them and their membership and to recognize them and to regulate them. They don't want that. They want to regulate themselves. Now we're not going to have two federations, that's part one, that really operate in the same realm. It's tantamount to creating parallel structures. Those who come from the ANC will know the dangers of that thing in terms of branches. And the former secretary there will know very well the dangers of such a scenario of having two parallel structures to run in the same field. It can be done. So we insist on that they must subject themselves under motorsport, but equally it must also be understood. Motorsport in South Africa is a category C federation. It's a non-priority code. And we must treat it as such. Their codes, like Polo, we gave them notice that we will never fund them again. because they don't really need our money. They are coach of sports. South Africa, we must be honest with each other. And based on what Minister says about the available kit and the resources, we will not be able to fund everybody. They are coach of sports that are purely elitist. In South Africa, children who play no sports, including the poor ones who come from rural villages, but who play no sport and who go to Tiffendale, an artificial ski resort in the Eastern Cape, and go and ski in South Africa. Ne? And then they say they want to participate in the Winter Olympics, like Sylvia Spellman, whom we know he's ranked 318 in the world. No chance of medaling. But then he gets an invitation by the IOC to say international solidarity qualification, special dispensation for you. You have now qualified. And we have to do the number crunching of determining the cost of deployment and sending this athlete who must have a chef de mission because they can't represent themselves in daily meetings with the IOC. Somebody must go sit there. They must have a team manager who must sit in the daily team management forums. They must also have a team doctor, a physiotherapist, a dietitian that must accompany them and everyone. The cost of deployment of this one athlete, we are guaranteed. He is not going to win a single medal. Just so we are not blackmailed by the media, we must deploy 12 million to send this one athlete to the... Somebody has to make a call that says, no, you are not going. Unfortunately, that person is me. And when I make such calls, the case of Sylvia Spielman was all over the media. I was portrayed as a monster that refuses an athlete that has qualified for the Olympics. But they don't even tell how this athlete qualified, that actually he has not, he has been invited. The truth some ways gets fashed and politics come in the way and we get accused of all wrong things. But back then, former Minister Mbalula said, DG, where your work clubs and don't listen to the noise. Take a decision and make it and stay by it. And we stuck by that decision. And after the Olympics, the noise just died down. Nobody remembers Sylvia Spielman. I'm sorry to remind you of his name, but nobody remembers that. But that is the reality of the matter. Difficult decisions have got to be made. We can't make such choices because the resources are so limited that we must make quite clever choices. And in the same breath, I can show you the Jamaican team sends a team of 12 people. They come back with 16 medals from the Olympics. The South African team, we send 257 athletes because of politics and the pressure that this athlete must have to go by hook or crook. And then we come back just with what? 12 medals. Is it a prudent way of going about this? Because if we know, and we can look at your international ranking, we can look at your past performances over the last 3 years, that, and we can look at the recent qualification times against your competitors, we know you're not going to win a medal. You may have qualified as the 12th most best time, but we know you're not going to get that medal. Should we really allow you to go? Should we deploy so much money and send you to go participate at the Olympics? They have always argued experience. But then what about an athlete that we know that by the next Olympics, they're not going to win now, but by the next Olympics they'll be so finished and tired, it's time for retirement. What experience are we talking about? We shouldn't. I think those hard decisions have to be made, despite the attacks we get and every other thing. And unfortunately, that's how it is. So spinning is not a priority. Even if motorsport recognizes them, we are not going to give them money. I think it's as simple as how it gets. They will not get money. They are state-aided coaches, they are state-funded coaches, and they are elite coaches, which are Category 3. Parents who want their children to play those coaches must be prepared to pay for those coaches. It's as simple as that. All over the world, it works like that. If you want your children to do that thing, equestrian, and with a horse that is braided nicely and jumps hoops and what, pay for it and pay for the horse. Don't ask us to buy a horse for you or pay stable fees. And then now we see black people in some village, they say, I grew up grooming horses, so now I want to do this thing. No, but I can't afford the horse. You, the state, buy the horse for me. I mean, the horses are just stacked. And now it becomes a huge problem when we say, no. People must play this thing, must be prepared. And we see now the new black middle class and the elite, they are getting their children to play those type of things. That's fine. But it's not even our priority in chasing transformation targets because this type of coach carries, in any case, so minute and so insignificant numbers that it doesn't make sense for us to be chasing them the whole day and around and asking them, why are black people here? Why? We leave them to be, like Polo. We leave them. People arrive there in Bentleys, in what? They invited me once and they made a mistake of inviting me. By simply arriving there in my little car and watching what's happening there, and with everybody having horses and everyone comes, they book the whole floors of the lost city, and everyone comes with their maids, nannies, what? The entourage of a couple is six other people. And then the horse now comes and grooming and groomsmen and what and trainer. So they are there with 15 people, booked the whole floor. These people, I'm being told that we must now fund them. So I think it must just be clear that what we are saying about it. So even with motorsport, it doesn't really matter whether they have a champion who may have the authority and power. But I think we have to be honest with each other that we will not fund them. Nazrek is away. There is no dolomite in Nazrek. I think we have checked with the Council for Geoscience. We looked at the belt. Yes, passes close by, but not exactly where Nazrek is. What is the threat about Nazrek? It's not dolomite. It's because I'm sure you know, you see there is a big tower there by Nazrek. Next to it, that land is owned by IPROP. It used to be a mine. There is a mine shaft there. The so-called Zamazamas enter that mine shaft. Typically, the mining engineers and geologists, as they dig the rock faces, they leave specific, even if there is ore in those columns, but they leave them so that they don't allow for a mine to collapse. So they leave huge columns and they dig around them and they move on, they dig new rock face and they blast there, but they leave these specific columns. Now, our biggest threat now is that the Zamazamas are busy chipping away the columns. They are digging there, and the stadium is sitting right almost on top of those columns underneath. So one day, the land will just cave in like that with the stadium and all the investment on top, and that is our biggest concern. We have asked IPROP to seal the mine on a number of occasions, and the police have gone in, but the Zamazamas keep on going back. So it's a huge challenge we are facing about Nazrek. The collapse will not be caused by dolomite. It will be caused by the fact that the pillars supporting the surface are being chipped away. Because unlike mining engineers, they don't care where they dig. As long as they think they'll find some gold there, they hit it. And I think it's an unfortunate and a big challenge that we're facing with Nazrek right now. Well, boxing South Africa has improved its fortunes significantly. I don't know where Honorable Mutongo gets his latest information, but where we are sitting, they have now gotten an unqualified audit opinion in the last 3 years. They have achieved 88% of their targets on average for the last 3 years. So we are quite happy with the progress we have seen being made there. With SAITS, we have given them a mandate to achieve a clean audit in the current financial year we are in, and we are confident that they will indeed achieve that. So netball, how much have we spent? We have spent 53 million in the last 6 years on them already. Members may remember that we started by saving them. The sheriff was at the door. They were bankrupt. It was tough. We paid all their debts. Back then, their debts constituted about 18.6 million. We paid it all of it, and we re-engineered the whole of netball. We helped them introduce the African Diamond Challenge and all, and we helped them with a special grant to appoint an international coach. They have appointed Norma Palmer, former coach from Australia who won the World Cup with Australia 3 times. So they didn't have enough money to afford a coach of that stature. We have done that. And with the investment we have made over those years and also with kickstarting the Netball Premier League, you see what has happened, what ministers say. They have moved from being 7th on the African continent to be number 1. They have moved from being 31 in the world to becoming now top 5. And now you can see the progress we have made with them, and we took a conscious decision to say, let's invest first in netball as the biggest female participation code, and then we can then go to hockey and women's football and all others and try to bring parity in that. And we have been championing and trying new methodologies. For instance, in hockey now, women and men play the same league, and they are paid exactly equal. So, and there's no nothing like that. Like this past season, the women's final was the main final. The men played curtain raisers to the women, and the men's teams who went to the final played first, and when they were done, 5 o'clock, the main match for women started and ended with that. The prize money is exactly the same. Money for the player of the tournament is exactly the same. Their player allowances are exactly the same. Men and women paid exactly the same. So we are piloting this, and we're trying to bring parity to that space. Honorable Van Dijk, the support for junior athletes is a big challenge for us. However, what we are doing is that we are having ring-fenced funding to federations that are supposed to help them develop junior athletes and to have junior tournaments. And as you can see with what we did with SAFA, we stopped giving Bafana Bafana money. But we then insisted that Bashimanyana, who played the Danone Cup at under 14, because it played every 4 years, when it does come, they have enough money to send a team. That thing that happened was a big embarrassment, that SAFA said, it went to the PSL and said, we don't have money to send a team to Danone. And then somehow, the Orlando Pirates under 13 team was named a South African team that now goes to represent. And just to rub salt into the wound, they came back from and they landed at the airport wearing their black and white strip of Orlando Pirates and not South African colors. So now the money is ring-fenced for the junior teams. Even Namajita, you have seen what we have done with them. After the team was not constituted for about 13 years, you have seen what we have done now. It has gone on to go play. It qualified for the World Cup, went to Peru, finished in the semis. You have seen what we have done with the under-20s. Them too qualified and went on to the World Cup, although they came out in their first rounds. And you have seen Ahmad Lugluk had not played a single match in about 5 years. We have reconstituted that team, the under-23 team. We are not targeting that they will qualify for Tokyo. If they do, it will be an added bonus. But we are thinking they have to qualify for Los Angeles. So that's where we are about that with them. Even on the women's side, Maharebe, Basitwana, all of them, we have money ring-fenced for them. So I think you can now see the pipeline is becoming healthier to the Banyana Banyana itself. So we are quite committed in that regard, and we are not giving Bafana a cent. We have told SAFA that we will not reward mediocrity. Until we start seeing progress, we are not going to do that. But we agree with the minister. Football has to be addressed in its totality, not single pockets, and we have to look at the entire picture of what happens there. In as far as Namakwaland and what we have done there, Northern Cape has been our special case. Honorable Mutongo can attest to this fact. If we left the equitable share formula the way it works, then Northern Cape will end up with a budget of how much? How much CFO? I think they will end up around 20 million or so, if I'm not wrong. That is what they will get from us by population size and every other thing that, and their contribution to GDP and so on. However, this is what we have done. We then took a decision that here's a grant available. We're going to have a baseline for all provinces. And each province had a go. We're giving it 20 million. We ignore the equitable share. We give everybody 20 million. And then we started and we gave everyone. When everybody had 20 million, we then said the money remaining in the kit, let's subject it to the equitable share. And that has managed to propel Northern Cape to almost twice what it's not supposed to be getting. Now they are getting about 43 million. So instead of the 20 they would have gotten had we not done the intervention. So the smaller provinces are the ones that benefited more from the equation. And now after then, we even went further to say the two biggest provinces, KwaZulu-Natal as well as Gauteng, must cut 1% of their budget, and we take that 1% and we give it to Northern Cape. So with it, for the first time, the kids from Northern Cape are able to participate in all our tournaments, including indigenous games and so on. Previously, it was known that most of our tournaments, including like the winter championships, they were not sending teams, and they simply did not have the money. But after we changed the formula, and since 2012, we started implementing the new formula, now there is some degree. If we leave the formula the way it is, sport will only be played in Gauteng, Western Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. And so I think that understanding, we had to fight with the Treasury a lot about this. But, yeah, they have accused us that we have created a new problem of where now the bigger provinces that carry more people because of city inward migration, they need more facilities for these people. And now we have taken the money and given it to provinces in the periphery. So that argument is continuous, but we haven't changed our formula. We continue as we are. And so there is a whole host of programs we do in Northern Cape. I can get you a full list. We have actually had a prioritization in small towns like Newport. You go there, you find our multi-purpose sport courts. In Kennard, we have changed the life of that community as a whole by providing them with a center and everything, from running tracks to outdoor gyms to cycling lanes to every other thing you can think about. We turn the community towns around. We also make sure that on all multi-purpose sport courts, each province has a minimum of 2 a year. Outdoor gyms, each province has a minimum of 2 a year. And I can go on and on about what we are doing, but I can give you a full list. I can ask my team in all facets. For instance, the resort in Warrington, we have taken that resort over. It's an arts and culture resort. They had left it. It was dilapidated. We agreed with them and signed with them to say, because in the province there were one department already. We said it's on the arts and culture side, but sign up that it also becomes sport. And they have done so. And with the Hamakhara local municipality via our MIG funding, we have started building. We're building a stadium in there. We're building, we have already built tennis courts and multi-purpose sport courts. And we have renovated the dormitories and everything. And now all provincial and regional tournaments of school sport, youth camps, every other of our programs are happening in that space. So I can go on and on. Even the current plans we're discussing with Solplagi about building a national precinct in Kimberley, and why we have asked them to abandon their plans of becoming a metro and to accept that they must take the IUDG, because then we will have money for them. Let me now move to Honorable, the Bafana Bafana and the Indaba, I will not cover anymore because Minister has covered that. But with IG, yes, it is taking place, and most likely it is going back to Seshego. We will hear after we discuss now with my brother here what do we do, because now we are one, and there are heavy elements in this festival which are actually his baby. So, and we have 9 codes in there. And the new codes that are being suggested, all of them, we explore them. We receive proposals. We can consider them. But the 9 that are there already are quite popular. We have standardized them. Even the rules have been standardized. Everybody plays by the same rules now. And we have even now standardized the names because almost in each and every indigenous language, this had names. There was an issue that has been raised related here to about our contribution of these games to international. Yes, through TAFISA, every 4 years there is the World Traditional Games Festival. And South Africa consistently, since Busan, we have been sending a team to these games. Right now, the TAFISA has agreed that it shouldn't be competitive games. It should be demonstration and a festival of celebrating cultures and so on, and we must showcase the games. And soon, there are already about 4 of these games that are becoming international. For instance, the Tug of War, which is really a Scottish Island game, has become so popular all over that it's now being considered that it will be among the first games that all countries can compete in at the World Traditional Games Festival. And you see a game like Muravarava. Yeah, the Italians call it Mille. It's also indigenous to them. The Japanese call it Sudo. We call it Muravarava here, but virtually it's the same game, different notations. So it will have to be standardized so that all the countries can compete on the same notation and level. Khadi in club. Now that game now, the British call it double Dutch, the Americans play it as double Dutch. We also do. Kenyans have it. Most people have this game. Even Namibia has the game. So essentially that too will go into the basket of the games that the competition has to end. There are obviously consultations around rules and so on, but we will borrow heavily like from gymnastics. Gymnasts do different routines, and everybody has their own routine with their own song. But the judges score for accuracy for this, and even with Khati, we will do similar things. So it's getting there. It's moving, but on our part, we have now entrenched the festival. It's now becoming popular. It's growing in leaps and bounds. These games, four of them have already been introduced to schools. They've already been played in school, and we will ramp it up to nine. Ultimately, all nine of them will be played. Right now, we have done the scoping exercise around Scope the Ball, and we are looking at its rules and standardization, including equipment. We are not going to use the tins, unfortunately, and all of that, but we are looking with the Center for Materials Development, the Center for Industrial Research Council, to develop the instruments for us for the games and so on. We will get there. So they will keep on being, and we will qualify research and do all of them to make sure that they do happen. Now, the students to the university are there. Yeah, we have a big problem. Our minister has already been briefed about it. There is a company run by Francois Pinard, former Springbok captain who won the 1995 World Cup. It operates in universities. It runs a thing called the Varsity Cup. The Varsity Cup is on Supersport, and almost all historically white universities play that. And of recent, because of the criticism, he has added a few historically black universities in it. We have a problem with that because the recognized sport body is USA, University Sports South Africa. For those who went to universities will remember the old Satisco, and so this is the new Satisco. And this is the one that's supposed to arrange. Previously, universities funded this. But we have a problem that Higher Education South Africa, vice chancellors of universities, particularly of the historical white ones, met together at VETS and took a decision to say, we will no longer fund. Let's accept. Let's all of us sign a pact with Francois, give him the sole rights of organizing sport in our universities. And then because he comes with sponsorship from Steinhoff and FNB and everybody, it will relieve us universities of our obligation of funding our own university teams. Now, this has created untold misery around universities. And if you ask us to now fund universities, the law, first and foremost, the law doesn't allow it, that we will ultimately give the universities the money to run sports. But secondly, it's just imprudent that we should do such a thing. More so when there is enough money in that sector of the universities to do that. But the money now is run by a private company, goes into private hands. Whereas previously the money, Satisco took it, and it knew that every 4 years it has to deliver a team to competitions like these kids are going. Right now, the universities say, all right, you have qualified, but we have nothing to do with you. But then where's Francois' company? It's nowhere to be found. Now USA must come and see to finish how it gets this team to that competition. And even with the money that we are giving USA, it's a bridge too far to cover for everybody. So, for instance, right now we're already subsidizing up to 80% of all participants in this year's competition in Italy. But then it's still expected that the students must raise some of the money, including their own pocket money and including their own travel and all of that. So that's the challenge we are faced up with. Is there a solution of immediate? What are we going to do? If budgets improve and we don't get the cuts we are getting right now, perhaps we can prioritize that. But obviously we must also be quite au fait with the fact that some tournaments, we have the so-called designated tournaments, which we want to fund fully. But there's always going to be a child who comes from some school. And a school in America writes to a school in South Africa and say, we're inviting you to come participate and play sport. And then these kids say, I've been selected to go play in America. And then I want to be paid. But we know we stand to gain nothing out of that tournament. And when we say to these kids who move around with letters and some come like a raffle or whatever and they are raising money, and we say, we sport, we can't give you any money, they say we are useless. But we know the tournament she's going to is not a designated tournament for which we stand to benefit anything as a country out of. Yes, it's good for the exposure of the child. Yes, it's good for him or her in their individual capacity, but in the bigger scheme of things, we have to finance. Like, for instance, if the kids are going to the regional games, we have to pay fully for them. We don't expect them to pay anything. If they are going for the African Junior Championships, we pay. They are going to the World Junior Championships, we pay. And even the Junior Olympics, we do pay. So those are designated tournaments. They are listed. And all athletes know that if I want the state to pay for me, I must qualify for that one. And I must, then I will get all the support. But the rest of the other tournaments, and they will always be there. Our approach is that if money is available, we may consider special circumstances. But as a general rule, we do not fund those ones. So I think that's how it is. Honorable Siavi, the issue of the criteria for the selection of traditional councils, I think that's why we wanted to work with the National House of Traditional Leadership. We don't want to. In fact, they ask their provincial houses to nominate the councils that we work with. And they give us, they say, it will be that one. It has helped us a great deal because most Amakosi, I don't know where they got my numbers, but they were calling me incessantly to say, we want to participate. But I have to refer them back to their provincial house and say, let them endorse you, you will come in. Like now, we have done the same thing. We're waiting for the revert on the three we want to add on top. So the council themselves must decide so that we don't stand with a problem of how did we choose that one, not that one, and so on. And that's exactly what's going to be the problem. In the same manner, selection of Polokwane, why eat without that? All right, there are three grants in municipalities for building of facilities. One is the MIG, the Municipal Infrastructure Grant. It doesn't allow for multi-year funding. The other one is IUDG, which is the Integrated Urban Development Grant. It allows for multi-year funding. The other one is the USDG. This one is for metros. Now, the metros are not in this equation because the ring fencing of the USDG, the 15%, has not yet been done by the treasurer. We are fighting for it. But the two other grants, MIG and IUDG, are already done in that way. So all the municipalities you have called, Mogalakwena, all of them, they are all on MIG. That doesn't allow for multi-year funding. And in MIG, we don't have enough money to be able to do the type of big projects I'm talking about. So the only municipality that was closest in order of preference that Softball South Africa gave us was Polokwane. And it just qualified because it was on IUDG and also it had registered projects. So we could easily outlay the money with ease. And I think that's the explanation, even with Mahikeng for the same purpose. Lastly, the teams that you say you see them and then they vanish, indeed, that is a reality of club development. Clubs do come and go. Some of them have a mainstay and length of stay. But now with our club development program, we have introduced the so-called Club Smart Toolkit, which is intending to train as well as support club administrators. A pilot in two provinces. One in Limpopo, Mopane District, a rural node, and in KwaZulu-Natal, eThekwini, the urban node. And we have now deployed this for the last 4 years. And then we had a club development conference to assess and receive preliminary results. And we have adjusted here there the Club Smart Toolkit. But there is already success stories in terms of the length of time clubs get to prop up and then now they stay a bit longer, the ones that are in the program. We will draw essential lessons for the future on how we help and support clubs to stay much longer and that they do not vanish. Honorable Madringosi, the Women's League of Football will come in August. We have already provided money for it. SAFA will have to launch that. We have ring-fenced it so they can use it for any purpose except that. We want to take it to ultimately to become the PSL of women. So that's where we are getting to. 18 teams will start the new league in August, And Sasol has already agreed that it will also partner with us. Our commitment is over 3 years, and Sasol say by that time they'll be ready to really ramp up their own funding. So on a sustainability basis, we're a bit confident that it will work out. Don't expect miracles, and don't expect that it will look like PSL in year one. It will start, it will make impact, but then we are pushing the Davis Tax Committee that they must give us the incentive of Section 18A, that the sport bodies must be able to issue a tax rebate, and then that way we can then say that if a program funded is for women or is for junior, so what, the rebate is higher. So in that way, we think we can encourage and give an incentive for corporates to fund football. But the biggest elephant in the room is having to fund SAFA with all its shenanigans administratively. And no funder in their rightful minds actually gets to put money in an organization that's badly run. I mean, everybody knows that. So the least I say about that, the better. But I think that's where it is. I think I've covered everything, Chair. I've gone to town. I've left only the things Minister has covered already.
DJ, I was looking at my notes. I was having some conversation with my secretary. The meeting was supposed to end at 1:30. We are still having... We don't have any minutes, but if we can round up and close at 5:00, honorable members, I will allow you to do some follow-ups. You must be brief to the point in order that in these 7 minutes, also we must respond on your follow-up questions in that order. You know what? We are a big department now. After this, we'll try to schedule that we must have maybe meetings twice a week, because depending on that, are we going to manage the time slot? Parliament also doesn't have enough committees. Sometimes other committee will be at the door. But in order that we must not cut members whilst they're still having interest, we'll discuss in the straight plan. So I'm saying we have got 7 minutes to do follow-ups, if any follow-ups. I'm giving you that chance, honorable members. Thank you. Umdengentonga, for the first time, Honorable Mhlongo said he presented short version with detail, and when he was responding, I was looking that now he's starting to go higher and higher. But even as a chairperson, I was looking at everyone's question. He responded. By this time now, let me thank honorable members. Let's have all our documents in order that we must going to profile our debate. No one must see that we're having a match of two departments. We must go, the researchers and content advisors, they must assist us in order that South Africans must be proud of us as deployed in this committee. By these words, let me thank honorable members. I'm hoping that as time goes on, we'll get knowing each other and knowing each department. Thank you so much, honorable Mhlongo. Your all question has been answered, but you were out, in and out, so you didn't hear some other very important responses, but by now, I didn't see any hands except now Honorable Mhlongo is raising the hand. I can give him that chance. Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo.
The dates, I see the debate is 16 and 17. Are they ATC? Can we change them to have one day
on the same day if possible, you know, like
it's not possible.
It's not possible.
Yes, they are already in 82. It's not possible because they first look at the ministry, whether they are ready, and maybe they do have other tasks as ministers, and then the programming will come to each caucus to report, and then it will issued in the ATC. It's unfortunately, we cannot change it. Thank you, Honorable Members. The meeting
closed. I'm going to go to the hospital.